This morning, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to read there from verse 12. 1 Timothy 1:12, and Paul is giving an account here of his salvation. Of course, those that rightly divide the word of truth, we believe that Paul is our pattern. And many times we're accused of putting too much emphasis on the Apostle Paul. I've always said and maintained that we don't put any more emphasis on Paul than God put on Paul. The Apostle Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Then we know that the Apostle Paul, clearly, as it states in the Scripture, is our pattern. He's a pattern of salvation by grace through faith. And the reason of that is because Jesus Christ declared that those that committed blasphemy, that there was no forgiveness for them in this world, nor the world to come. And yet Paul in this passage says he was a blasphemer. And so Paul is a pattern of salvation by grace through faith, and he says that in me first. And what we find in studying the Scriptures is that God Almighty interrupted the prophetic program with Israel in order to bring in this new dispensation that he committed to the Apostle Paul, and this new gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. Now, we talk about Paul being a pattern of salvation all the time, and I just gave a brief recap of that. But today I want you to notice some things about Paul as a pattern of preaching. Look back, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What am I talking about, a pattern of preaching? Well, you know, preaching is very important. People gather together all over the nation, all over the world, on different days, most of them on Sunday here. And men stand up and they proclaim, they preach a message. And that message should be, obviously, according to the Word of God. And even more specifically, it should be according to the Word of God, rightly divided. But Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, tells us about some things that were involved in his proclamation of the truth when he was at Corinth. Now, when you read Acts chapter 18 about Paul's visit to Corinth, there's a very brief account there. And he doesn't say a lot about, in Acts 18, about what took place there. But when you read the book of 1 Corinthians, you find out a lot about Paul and the pattern that he used for preaching. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice there in verse 1. He says in verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." So the first thing we notice about Paul is that Paul was not simply doing his own thing. I've heard that time and again, that Paul was, the difference in Paul and the other apostles and so forth, is that much of what Paul wrote was his own opinion. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth, folks. Every word in this Bible before me was penned by God Almighty as he moved holy men of God, and they spake as they were moved and wrote down, and God has preserved that word for us today. Paul said, "When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." And he's talking about there the wisdom of this world. If you go back to chapter 1 and look there in verse 18, Paul says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Listen, the Apostle Paul was not interested in trying to impress people with his worldly wisdom. Paul, when he went there to Corinth, when he went to Thessalonica, all through the book of Acts, as he goes there, he goes first into the synagogue. And he preaches unto them that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And most of the time, they reject that truth. And Paul is kicked out, and so in some instances he stays for a while there in that town. Other times he leaves immediately. But the fact is that he says, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech. You know, so many times people are impressed not by the message, but more by the way the message is presented. And there's a lot of people that put a lot of value and a lot of stock in intellect. Well, listen, intellect is fine as long as it's intellectually right according to the Word of God. Don't be swayed just because of a person's intellect. Some of the greatest messages that I've ever heard were by men that didn't have great intellect. And I would include myself in that group. I mean, I was telling somebody the other day, Hannah posted that she was 2 years through college. And she was celebrating that she was halfway done. I said, well, Hannah, I went to a 2-year college. Took me 5 years to get through with it, so you ought to be really happy. But I was majoring in Miss Mary. I wasn't majoring in what I ought to be majoring in. All I was interested in was Mary. And so there's nothing wrong with intellect. But Paul said, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or wisdom. Notice what he's declaring unto you, the testimony of God. Paul's preaching was exactly what God gave him for the people to whom it was given. That's why he says he is the apostle of the Gentiles. He said he magnifies his office. So first of all, it was not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Notice the next thing he says. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now again, you would not find that in Acts chapter 18, where Paul's at Corinth. But if you read this verse, you know that what Paul preached unto them was Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now that statement right there dispels a lot of false teaching. Because even among grace brethren today, there are those that believe that you've got to know more than the gospel in order to be saved. Well, Paul said, it is God's will that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. What is this gospel that Paul preached? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, come on folks, you're going to either take what the Bible says or what man says about the Bible. Paul called the Corinthians saints. And he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why was that? Because Paul said they were carnal individuals. And because they were not willing to progress and understand, if you will, they were so busy infighting and backbiting and bickering. Turn back to chapter 3. And Paul tells us why. That's all he preached unto them. He said in verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Well, that tells you something then about the church at Corinth. But what it tells us about Paul is that Paul always preached the fundamental, basic doctrine of salvation first, and that was the foundation that Paul built upon. And right here in chapter 3, verse 10, he said, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Let me tell you something, folks. There's a lot of people that you may debate with. There's people that you might show the truth to. In a lot of instances, what you're dealing with is a dead person. There's a lot of people that have had a religious experience but never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so Paul says to these Corinthians, he said, "I couldn't go any further than just the gospel." But he proclaimed the gospel. And that's a pattern for us. I know that there are times when I slip up and don't do this, but the gospel needs to be clearly presented every time we have an opportunity to stand before people, because we never know. I don't try to judge or determine who's saved and who's not. I just let God take care of that. He can do the counting. But the fact is that the gospel that Christ preached, that Paul preached, was the testimony of God. And Paul said, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now notice verse 3. He says, and 1 Corinthians 2:3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Well, no wonder. Go back and read what happened to him. People wanted to kill him everywhere he went. I mean, you know, folks, I read these verses sometimes and I think about the conflict that Paul had in his life. And I read over there when Paul's writing to Timothy. He said, "Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Well, when I compare those verses then, I know that fear doesn't come from the Lord. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but Paul feared, didn't he? You know why? Because in our flesh, we fear. Paul was confronted with obstacles. When he was fixing to go down to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 20, he said, "I know that afflictions abide me. The Holy Ghost has showed me that afflictions are going to be there." But you know what he said? "None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received to testify the gospel of the grace of God." No matter how much conflict, no matter how much resistance, folks, we are never to quit. We are never to quit. We keep on preaching the truth of God's word. Why? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't judge whether what we're doing is right or wrong by the physical result. We judge what we're doing, whether it's right or wrong, by the word of God. And Paul said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke with all long suffering." So the Apostle Paul faced obstacles. If you try to be a witness of God's grace and the truth of His word, you're going to face some obstacles. There's going to be some things that are going to be difficult in your life. Paul said, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He had problems. I mean, you can read about them in Corinthians. We won't take time to do that, but I mean, he was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He said a day and a night he was in the deep. I mean, Paul had multiple problems. But you know what? He was able to say at the very end, "I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith." That's what your testimony wants to be. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, verse 3, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." You know, it fascinates me today that in the modern day church, so much today is equated with the power of God in a physical sense. I heard somebody talking about not long ago how that they were in a church service and the power fell. I always wondered about that. I thought they meant the electricity power failed when I first heard it, and the lights went out or something, but that wasn't what they were talking about. They were talking about the Spirit of God falling and how there was power. Well, you know where the power is, folks? The Spirit, the power of the Spirit is in the Word of God. That's what Paul's talking about. He makes that clear. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. He didn't try to draw people by impressing them. He didn't try to draw people by using the wisdom of the world and compromising the truth. But he said it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What is that power? Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's where the power of God is. It's in the preached word. And I've mentioned before, one of the greatest blessings to me in coming to understand the truth of rightly dividing the word of truth and understanding what the gospel really is that I came to understand that in presenting the gospel to people and witnessing to people, it's not about me. It's not in my ability to be persuasive like a car salesman. Or maybe I shouldn't say car salesman, but you know, a salesman that tries to convince people of his product and that kind of thing. That's not what it's about. Now that's fine in the sales world. But when it comes to the gospel, it's not through our abilities, what I'm trying to say. The power is in the Word of God. That's why Paul said, one planted, one watered, but who gives the increase? God does. And so when when we think about evangelism, I talked about this up at the conference this year. When you think about evangelism, it's not twisting people's arm and trying to get them to repeat a prayer. I mean, I went through all of that. I used to do little church, you know, and get the kids to come down front, repeat the prayer and all that kind of stuff. I can tell you over my life, I thought many times about the kids that came down front when I used to do little church there in this huge church we went to. And the fear that many of those are still trusting in the fact that they came down front and repeated a prayer. I was misled. I was misguided. Salvation is not in repeating a prayer. It's not in confessing your sins. It's not in walking an aisle. It's not in being baptized. Salvation is in believing the gospel proclaimed by our apostle, the Apostle Paul, and trusting solely, totally, and completely in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that'll save you today. Not your works. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us. And Paul says, the reason I did what I did and the way I did it is that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God Almighty. Then, in verse 6, he goes on to say, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now, he's already told us that he did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom. And we saw that was the wisdom of this world. But there is the wisdom of God. And that wisdom we do need to proclaim, because he says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You see, what Paul is showing us there is that there was some information that was conveyed unto him by the Lord. He said, that which he preached he did not receive of man, neither was he taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul received a special revelation from God. And God made him the apostle of the Gentiles. Unto Paul was committed the gospel of the grace of God. And that's why there's the distinctions between that which was preached in the early part of Acts and that which was preached by Paul. That's why there's a difference in the kingdom message in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the epistles of our apostle Paul, Romans through Philemon. That's why there's a doctrinal difference, and that's why there's a salvation difference. And we rightly divide the word of truth so that we can clearly show today how people are saved in this present dispensation of grace. Because when a person goes back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and tries to glean salvation from those verses, they end up in confusion. Not only salvation, but their walk of the believer. The people that today are making claiming the promises that were made in relation to prayer. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. There are multitudes of Christians today that are discouraged and despondent because they claim that. And yet Paul said he besought the Lord three times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient. Does that mean God doesn't answer prayer? No. What it means is we don't have the promises made to Israel in relation to prayer. We don't have the guarantee. But you know what we do have? We have God's grace that is always sufficient. And so Paul says, let your request be made known unto him. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds. You see, there's a reason that we need to understand the distinctness of Paul's ministry. It's because of the doctrine that was given to him for us through this mystery program. So in the moments that remain here, I want us to think about that. He says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Look back in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, and I always compare these verses, and I want to do so today because there may be somebody out there listening that's never considered these things. But in Acts chapter 3, verse 21, when Peter's preaching, he said, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Then we know that what Peter is preaching in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 was nothing different than what the prophets had spoken since the world began. But notice what Paul said in Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him there's a power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, notice, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Well, folks, you can't have, this idea that Paul is just, he joined up with the 12, and they were out of God's will by choosing Matthias, and Paul became the 12th, and Paul is preaching the same thing. They're all preaching the same thing. You can't have one saying what they preached was made known since the world began, and the other was a secret since the world began. That will work. Why? They're different. Paul was given a revelation. He said, you establish people by preaching my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And then he says, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. That's how people are established today. You can't establish people by preaching the prophetic program given to Israel. Why, most of the religious world today is in religion or is in confusion because they're trying to be Israel. They believe they are Israel. They're claiming Israel's promises. Those aren't ours, folks. We got a whole set of promises in Romans through Philemon. We've got salvation presented to us. We've got our own apostles. Listen, we're the church, the body of Christ. We're not Israel. We don't have their promises. But most of religion today believes they are somehow affiliated with Israel or spiritual Israel or something like that. Well, the fact is there's no biblical proof for that whatsoever. God formed a distinct and separate body. He called it the body of Christ. And it was a mystery. And it was not made known until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And until people acknowledge that and understand that, they're going to continue in deception, being deceived. Paul said in Romans chapter 16, now to him there's power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, I mentioned a while back that I was in a religious system. I was in church all of my life from the time I was 3 years old up. My dad got saved when I was three, and we went to church continually, went to Sunday school, went to training union and royal ambassadors and everything else they had to offer. And when I started studying my Bible was after I moved to Chattanooga in 1972. And up until that time, I did not know that the word dispensation was in the Bible. I'd been to Bible school even. Well, notice what Paul says about that in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. You know why I didn't know it? Because I hadn't read these verses. About all I ever read was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Started preaching when I was 18 and preached for 5 or 6 years preaching out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I had that down. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1 says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Notice now, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men." You see, prophecy was made known. This mystery was not made known, "as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ." How? By the gospel. Every person that's in the body of Christ got in the body of Christ the same way. I mean, some did all this nonsense about there's all these different groups and there's all different ways to heaven. We all end up in the same place. No, Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And Paul said, "It is today by the gospel." And that gospel is that which we read a moment ago, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. God formed something new, and it's called the dispensation of the grace of God. And Paul said, "It was given me to youward." Folks, you can resist it all you want to. You can kick against it. People can reject it. But regardless of what you want to do about it, you are living in the dispensation of the grace of God. And salvation today is by the gospel of the grace of God that was proclaimed by the apostle of grace, the apostle Paul. And when you hear that, when you believe that, when you understand that, your life will change for the better, I can assure you. Because it's the most glorious thing in the world to know who we are in Christ and all that we have in Christ. That's why we preach. That's what Paul said he made known unto them. That's why it's important that we preach the Word, that we stay consistent with the Word of God, and that we never compromise that truth. One more time, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 7, he says, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." You see, that wisdom was hidden. And the sad truth today is that it remains hidden to many people, because they will not open their eyes and simply believe the truth of God's Word. People ask me all the time, "Why is it that people won't do that?" Generally, it has to do with tradition. It has to do with the things that they were taught and they hold on to, and it's so dear to them, and it's hard for people to acknowledge that mom and daddy might have been wrong, and grandmom and granddaddy might have been wrong, and on it goes. Well, let me tell you something. There's nothing you can do about grandmom and granddaddy or mom and daddy, but you can certainly do something about what you believe. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I encourage you right now, this very moment, whether you're driving a car, sitting in this auditorium, watching over the internet, or whatever, receive the free gift of salvation and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He'll save you this very moment.